Today, we once again hear the story of Thomas, or as we often call him, Doubting Thomas. By the way, what a bad nickname to get stuck with for 2,000 years, Doubting Thomas. And while it's easy to talk about Thomas, it's worth remembering that Thomas wasn't the only disciple in this story. Judas is no longer around, but there are still 10 other disciples in this room. So what about them? What were they feeling? Today I want us to imagine together that we're among those 10. Jesus has just died. We're gathered together, doors bolted, shades drawn, trying to keep our heads down, worried that we might be the next to be crucified. And then Jesus shows up. Now, I'm a priest. I believe in God. I believe in the resurrection. But I have to tell you, if someone who I buried last week showed up in my living room this evening, I would not be saying the Nicene Creed. I'd be calling 911. And when these disciples saw Jesus, I'm not even sure that they really recognized him right away. After all, after the resurrection, there was something different about Jesus. Mary thought he was a gardener when he appeared to her at the empty tomb. And the disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize Jesus until they sat down for a meal together. So I've got to wonder if in this upper room, after Jesus left and after the room became quiet again, if it was possible that one of the disciples looked at another and asked, "Did that really happen? Was that really Jesus?" And I imagine at least one of the disciples must have thought to himself, "We can't tell anyone about this. They're going to think we're crazy." But friends, our faith calls us to speak and to act sometimes, even when that entails risk or vulnerability. Now, I don't know where Thomas had run off to the first time Jesus appeared, if he'd gone down maybe to Publix to get some sweet tea, or maybe he just needed some air. But regardless of where he went, when he came back, there were 10 wide-eyed disciples, not whispering, but shouting, "We saw him." That is what a witness does. They don't surrender to their fear or keep their mouths shut. A witness tells the truth about what they have seen and what they've experienced in their own life. But this isn't the end of the story for Thomas. Jesus shows up again, this time for him. And to bring together all these miraculous encounters, Jesus says something to the disciples. He says, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you. So I send you." Don't stay behind these locked doors forever, in other words. You've got a story to tell. You've got work to do. You've got love to give and neighbors to serve and hope to proclaim. We are witnesses. We're reminded of this constantly. Here at the cathedral, every Sunday, we end the service with one of the clergy saying, "Go in peace to love and serve the Lord." And what do we shout back? "Thanks be to God." I want to clarify, we're not saying "thanks be to God, this service is over." We're not saying anything like that. We're saying thanks be to God that God has given us work to do, to love and to serve. You don't come to church, we don't come to church just to feel good about ourselves. We come here to be recharged and refreshed and then sent back into the world to show forth with our lives what we say in our words, to welcome, to serve, to forgive, to love. We are witnesses, and not just here in these walls, but out there in the world. Just a few weeks ago, I was walking downtown. I was not in my uniform, just regular street clothes, no collar, no sign saying I'm a priest. I got to an intersection and there was a sign that said, "Don't walk." So like a good law-abiding citizen of both the kingdom of God and the city of Jacksonville, I stopped and waited for the signal to turn. Next to me was a couple with some pamphlets and some books about the Bible and about Jesus. Now I'm an extrovert. God just made me that way. I can't help it. So I probably open my mouth too often sometimes, and I smiled at the gentleman, and I said, "Good morning." Big mistake. I just wanted to make small talk at this intersection for a moment. He wanted to make big talk. We talked for a while, and then he said, "Do you have a relationship with Jesus?" I figured it was only fair to tell him the truth, so I said, I think so. It's sort of a job requirement for me. I'm an Episcopal priest. Now, he did not know what to do with that. He blinked twice, he stammered for a moment, and then he said, "Well, do you want a book on Jesus?" Jesus in the Gospels says, "You will be my witnesses." And I don't think he simply meant handing out booklets on street corners. I think he meant something deeper, something more subtle, yet something that can truly change people's lives. When the first disciples saw the risen Jesus, they told Thomas what they had seen. And once Thomas had touched these wounds, he and the rest of the disciples went out and told others, and the story spread. And by the time we get to the reading we heard from Acts this morning, the disciples, including the same ones who'd been hiding behind closed doors, are out there. And they're not just talking about Jesus. They're living like Jesus. They're healing like Jesus. They're loving like Jesus. And they're having such an impact, making so many waves, that they get dragged before the high council. And the high priest says, "We told you to stop. We ordered you not to teach in his name." And Peter stands up, the same Peter who denied Jesus three times, and he says, "We must obey God rather than human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus. We are witnesses." We are witnesses, Peter says. Not we are experts, not we have all the answers, not we're theologians, but we are witnesses. And that's the call, not just for Peter and the disciples, but also for us to be witnesses, yes, with our words, but maybe even more so with our lives and our actions. Now, since I'm the one preaching, and since you're the ones, at least so far, politely listening in the pews, please allow me to take a brief detour. I know I'm supposed to talk about the Bible when I'm up here, but I need for a moment to tell you about one of the best books I've read in the last couple of years. It was called Remarkably Bright Creatures, and it was narrated, of all things, partially by an octopus. The last 15 pages, however, were so beautiful that I ended up in my living room literally crying about an imaginary cephalopod. When a book touches me like that, I tell people about it. And then I oftentimes go and buy an extra copy of that book, and I hand it to someone, and I say, "You need to read this." It turns out that I'm handing out books just like the guy on the street corner. One of my favorite restaurants is called 13 Gypsies. Have you ever been there? It's a tiny place, sort of a hole in the wall, maybe 6 or 7 tables. It doesn't look like much from the outside, and frankly, it doesn't look like much from the inside either. The vibe is quirky. The service can be rather slow, but the food, it is to die for. Last time I was there, I had these little bits of potato that were deep fried in duck fat. And after I took my first bite, I think I had a spiritual experience. But here's the thing. I don't just tell people about 13 Gypsies. I invite them. I say, come with me. You have got to try this place. In other words, I'm inviting people to join me at a place where I've had a spiritual experience. The truth is, I've been witnessing, because witnessing is telling people about what matters to you, but it's also living in a way that people see what really matters to you before you even open your mouth. So let me ask you a question. Has your faith brought you peace? Or let me ask you another question. Has your church helped you find stability in a storm? Or maybe has this community held you and walked with you when you couldn't make it on your own? If so, why wouldn't you want to share that with others the same way you'd share a great meal or share a book recommendation? Why wouldn't you want other people to know about the life-changing experience of this community, of this church, of a relationship with Christ? Because if the resurrection is real, if Christ is truly risen, then it can't be something that we only think about when we're in church. It has got to leak into the rest of your life. It has to show up in how you treat your coworker, and how you forgive your neighbor, and how you tip your waiter, and how you talk to your child or your spouse or your parent. It has to impact how you vote and how you serve and how you stand up for those who've been shoved down. You see, Jesus didn't rise so we could stay safely locked behind shut doors. He rose so that we could follow him out into the world. And friends, he is still saying to us what he said to those first disciples. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. The question is, are we willing to go? Will we be witnesses? Will we live in such a way that our lives become a testament to God's love and God's grace? Now, before I wrap this sermon up, I want to take us back to a prayer that we said at the very beginning of the service, words that could have slipped by us before we're fully settled into our pews. The prayer is the collect of the day. And today, Dean Kate prayed, grant that all who've been reborn into the fellowship of Christ's body may show forth in their lives what they profess by their faith. That's it. That's the whole sermon. Show forth in your life what you profess by your faith. That's what the disciples did, telling Thomas about Jesus. That's what Thomas did, who, according to tradition, traveled all the way to India to preach the gospel. That's what Peter and the apostles were doing when they said, we are witnesses. And Jesus still says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. That's our call, not just to say what we believe, but to live what we believe, to embody it, to act it out, to show forth the resurrection in the ways we live and the ways we serve and the ways we love. The collect says it plainly, the gospel shows it clearly, and the risen Christ sends us to live it boldly. So will we repeat after Peter and the other apostles? Will we also say, we are witnesses? We are witnesses. Amen.